If you'll take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 this evening. Proverbs chapter 4, we're continuing our series, and we only have tonight's and one more, and I'll be finished with the series on how to keep your fire burning for the Lord. And we're looking at specifically what the Scriptures have said are things that inhibit. Remember, we talked about the fact that we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And then we're told also that a man who has a light does not put a bushel over the top of it. He doesn't cover it up, but rather he sets it up on a hill so that the light can shine out. And understand, please, that those were fires. The light was a fire. It wasn't electric. It was a lit torch. And we're using that illustration concerning what Jesus said about John the Baptist, that he was a burning and a shining light. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be that way because he's the one who lit the fire. Amen? He is the light of the world. And we are to be in him, and in him we are a light. And we're to let our light so shine. And we're going to talk about number 7 tonight. In regard to this truth about guarding your heart and your mind. Look at verse 23, please, of Proverbs chapter 4. Very familiar verse of Scripture. But it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we're looking at specifically this idea of guarding our heart. In a world full of distractions, it's easy to lose focus on what truly matters. To keep your fire for God burning, you must be intentional about what you allow in your heart and mind. Now, that's an important aspect of Christian living. This means guarding against things that dampen your spiritual passion, such as negativity, such as toxic influences that arise in our interactions in this world. You know, we talked about surrounding ourselves with people that love the Lord, people that have the same mindset in that regard. Because if you allow toxic influences into your life, it will impact you. It will impact you. It'll impact your attitude. It will impact how you view other people because you allowed a toxic influence into your life. Be mindful of the content that you consume. This is such a needed area because of the fact that we have these things now. 30 years ago, we didn't have these things. This is something new that we carry around with us. When we wanted to call somebody, we went to an office phone, or we went to our personal phone that had a 30-foot cord on it so you could walk around the house and do your business, and then we got the fancy battery-powered phones, and we had those, but we didn't have all the content that we have today. This can be extremely helpful, or it can be extremely destructive. I think all of us agree with that. There's content on here that will not help you in your Christian walk. There's content here that will help you with your Christian walk. So we've got to be careful what we allow our eyes to see, our ears to hear. And more often than not, you see people throughout the day that have their earbuds in. I can't criticize because I have modified earbuds. I have hearing aids that have Bluetooth. And so when somebody calls me, I hear it in my ear. And whenever I hit the green button, I talk to them. People think I'm crazy when I have my phone sitting on my desk and I'm just talking away and they can't hear the conversation. So I have modified earbuds in my ear. But what are we allowing into our ear gate? Is it just any kind of music? Or is it Christ-honoring music? Now, there is secular music that can bring glory to Christ. Beautiful music that's out there. But there's a lot of music that's not glorifying to God. And the lyrics are not Christ-honoring. We have this battle every year with our sports teams and stuff. Everybody wants to bring out their music boxes and play it. And boy, I'm going to tell you, we've had people get fighting mad when you tell it to shut up. Say, well, you're on private property, so please turn it off. Well, let me show you my playlist. I said, I don't have time to go through your playlist. But what you were just playing there was not good for young people to be hearing. Well, I shouldn't have been playing that one. I said, well, then I don't need to see your playlist, because obviously you have things in there that young people, well, we're trying to get them pepped up. What happens? That's not innocent. Please hear me out on this. That's not innocent. Lyrics have meaning and change attitudes. Music has meaning and changes attitudes. I had a boy in my class. This was, goodness, this was back in 1989. He was a young boy that was listening to his music at night, all hours of the night, and his attitude at school was terrible. And he was sleeping in class. He was up all night listening to his music and so forth like that in his ears with his cord and so forth like that. And I told the parents, I said, I'm having an awful time with him. He's not paying attention. He's falling asleep. He's got a bad attitude. And I said, would you mind going in at midnight and checking on him and see what he's doing? I assumed that that's what was going on. And I was right. The mother went in there and found him under his covers, totally under his covers, with his music and his earphones in there, and he was just listening to his music to all hours of the night. She jerked back the covers. He hollered because it scared him half to death. And she said, give me the stuff, and took it away from him. And boy, did he have an attitude that night. Dad had to get involved. Both of them came in the next day and said, Mr. Brainerd, how did you know? And I said, I didn't know. But I know his attitude at school has been raunchy. He's sleeping all the time. He's tired. I knew something. He wasn't getting sleep at night. Something must have been going on. That same boy, 10 years later, came back up on this campus, graduated from school, going to seminary to become a preacher. And he said, Mr. Brainerd, do you remember that day? I said, I sure do. And he said, God got a hold of my heart and saved me. What I was doing was sin. And he said, I'm going to go out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a change. That event in his life of being caught was able to help him to realize he needed Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was doing wrong and he knew it. It affected his life. He admitted to that. Why is it that we think, oh, that's not the case at all? You can listen to anything you want to listen to. Oh, it will have a definite effect on your life and your attitude and how you talk and how you make decisions when you're bombarding yourself with the wrong kind of music. Same thing with watching people, late night comedy with filthy things. Before long, those thoughts are in your mind. You got to be careful. When you hear dirty words, they get embedded in your mind. Your mind is like a big piece of chewing gum. I've said this before. When we were kids, we got the big double bubble out here at the ballpark. We thought that was the best tasting gum in Milton. We bought it out here, but there were times when you were chewing and you dropped it down into the sand. Has anybody been able to pick out the sand out of a piece of chewing gum? It just goes. But I've watched kids. Mabel raised her hand. I've done it. I have taken all the sand out. I have watched kids pick up gum at the ballpark, put it back in their mouth, and you can see. You know, then they'd make their way over to the trash can. But it was too late. They had sand all in their mouth. You cannot get the sand out of the bubble gum when you drop it. And your brain is the same way. When you litter it with all that garbage and stuff because you haven't guarded your heart, it's there and it will always be there. And it will come up at the raunchiest times. When you need a scripture verse to come to your mind, it'll be the lyrics of that song instead. Why? Because that's what you put into your brain. That's what you filled it with. So we need to guard our heart. Be careful what you consume. whether it's through media, social interactions, entertainment, ask yourself if it's drawing you closer to God or pulling you away. That's what this verse is all about. I could take you to several other Bible verses, but this verse right here brings this very captivating thought about guarding your heart. Guarding your heart. This biblical passage emphasizes being vigilant and proactive in protecting your heart from negative and sinful influences. Can we completely block it all out? No. We depend upon the Holy Spirit. But you don't have to dwell on it. That's my point. You hear things all the time. You hear curse words. You hear those things. But you shouldn't sit there and just keep soaking it in. Soaking it in. You can ask God to give you an alert system and be proactive and say, Lord, I don't want to dwell on those things. Clear my mind of that kind of stuff. And He'll do it because the Holy Spirit's living within us. It directly impacts the direction and quality of your entire life, making this vigilant care a fundamental responsibility for spiritual growth and well-being. Now, don't get the idea that it's all on us. It's a dependence on the Holy Spirit. Holy! Are you listening to God's Word? I didn't call Him the Holy Spirit. God called Him the Holy Spirit. And He bears witness and testimony. We looked at that passage in John chapter 16 where He will guide you into all truth. But you've got to depend upon Him. You've got to call upon Him. You've got to seek Him and His presence in your heart and life. The heart in Scripture refers to the inner person, your thoughts, your emotions, your will, your intentions, and your desires. Not just the physical organ that we know has four chambers and beats and goes back and forth and keeps the blood flowing, so you're alive tonight. We're talking about your spiritual heart that the Bible has identified. Proverbs 4:23 states that the heart is the spring of life, the wellspring of life, because everything you think, say, and do flows from your heart. And the Bible goes into detail about that in several locations. We don't have time for that. But we're to guard the heart, we're told. We're to maintain ownership. That's really the meaning behind the Hebrew word. There, keep your heart. It means maintain ownership. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you maintain ownership, you have control. Now, remember, who's the owner? Who has given us a new heart? Christ. All right? Christ has given us a new heart. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what we're doing is we understand God has given me a new heart. He's the owner. I'm careful with what He owns. Are you getting the picture here? I'm careful about what He owns. If you see a sign on somebody's yard that says, no trespassing, and you cross over into their yard, you should expect bad things to happen. Especially if they say, this yard is guarded by Smith and Wesson. I'm to expect that if I'm in that yard, they give me a warning, get out of my yard, I'm going to get out of their yard. I shouldn't be there to start with. You're careful because they own that property. God owns me by right of creation and redemption. Amen? I'm to be careful about His ownership. I'm not to be flippant and careless and carefree about what He owns. Mindfulness of influences. Focusing on God's Word. Filling your heart with Scripture and meditating on it provides a shield. A shield. Created by God Himself. Because we've been told, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have to study the Word of God. Why? Because God works with His Word through the Holy Spirit and strengthens and encourages you to be holy because you possess the Holy Spirit, the one who changed you and gave you a new heart. It's a matter of cooperation with the Lord. And so, If we are cooperating with God, who owns us by right of creation and redemption, He wants His will to be performed in our lives. He wants His will. But He doesn't want you cluttering up all the space with the garbage of this world. And we need to be honest about that. This world is full of garbage. There are good things in the world. There are good things in the world, but there's also bad things. There are places in Pensacola I don't go. There are places that are dangerous. There are places that have bad influences. I'll never forget the story of a man who became quite famous because he started a group called the Navigators. But he said, up until his dying day, I cannot walk down the city of Chicago on the same side of the street as a bar. He said, here I am in my late 70s, and he still had that alcoholic thing within him. And he said, I'm not going to give place to the devil. I'm going to cooperate with God's Holy Spirit, and I'm going to stay away from it. Just the smell. Just the smell. That's a reality. That's a reality. He said, it lures. And he said, I have to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to go on the other side of the street. What was he doing? He was guarding his heart. For out of it are the issues of life. May we understand and know that we shine brightly whenever the lens is clear and clean. And that means the washing of the water of the Word, staying in the Word, not cluttering it up with all the mire and the muck that comes with being in the dirt of the world. May we allow the Holy Spirit of God to keep us clean for His glory and for the honor of Jesus Christ our Savior. Father in heaven, I thank You for the Word of God. What a powerful cleansing agent it is. We're told that the washing of the water of the Word is to be a daily thing. It's to be something that's in our hearts and lives, to purge us, to keep us clean. And You've told us to guard our hearts. We're to understand who owns us. You own us by right of creation, but secondly, by right of redemption. And so we want to be careful of that ownership. We want to make sure that we're not just doing what we want to do, we're doing what You want us to do. Your will being done on earth, even as it is in heaven. We thank You, dear Father, for these scripture verses that remind us and help us to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives every single day, that we might be a testimony to those that we meet, to those people that need Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they would see Jesus in us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful evening.